I know quite a few of you like to follow along and take notes and things, so I am going to read off the scriptures here beforehand because I have quite a few of them, because when you leave here today, I want you to be able to say that God says and not that Wayne says. So the scriptures that we will be looking at today, we're going to start in Deuteronomy, and it's going to be Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 8. I did put them in order from the beginning of the Bible to the end, so you don't have to flip back and forth. So the first is Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 8. Then we're going to go to Psalms chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 4, 1 through 8. Then Jeremiah 33, 3. Matthew 21, 13 through 16. And Acts 4, 23 to 31. The title of my message today, I could have given it different titles. It's the title I came up with first, and as I added more and more to it, I kind of thought that I should have changed it, but I thought, you know what, I'm just going to let it the way it is. And the title is, When We Pray, God Is With Us. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, as we come into your house to worship you, Lord, I pray as your scripture is read to your people that it would change their souls, that they would be touched deep down inside, that when they would leave this place, they would leave in a different way. Not because of what I say, but because of what you say in your word. Lord, I thank you for helping me to pull these scriptures together and to put them together. And Lord, I pray as I would speak that it would be clear that your people would understand what is being said to them, Lord. We just thank you and we ask that you would stir in our hearts and prepare us for your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to say the week leading up to this was kind of what I expected. Most of the time, if God's doing work and calling you to do something, the devil wants to mess with it. And leading up to this week, I haven't worked a Friday in a long time. I hardly ever work Fridays. I work 4:10s or 12s or 14 sometime or whatever it is, and I quit working Fridays mostly so that I could start my studies to become ordained. And since then, and I finished them, I really don't have interest in going back to working on Fridays. And Thursday, I get a phone call from our truck driver. He's in Dushore, and his truck quit charging. Our shop is in New Cumberland, which is a long ways away. And he says, how far do you think it'll make it? And I said, well, if you turn everything off, lights, air conditioning, everything, you might be able to make it to the shop. So I was not at the shop as well, so I headed to the shop. I stopped without looking at it. I thought, it probably needs an alternator. I'll get a belt for it as well. He gets back. Maybe I can get it changed quick Thursday. He did make it the whole way back, and I pop the hood and I look at it. The belt's torn, and the tensioner is no good. I didn't pick up a tensioner. So I call quick and say, hey, do you have one? Yeah, we have one. So I stop on my way home. Now I have to work Friday because they need the truck Monday. My plan was to prepare all day Friday for the sermon. And Saturday, I was going to work on a driveway that is washing out all the time. And my neighbor was going to come and help dig it out and stuff. And he called Thursday and said, hey, I seen the weather for Saturday. We should probably really do that Friday. So I go to work Friday. I called him and told him, hey, I'm not going to be able to be there at 8 o'clock because I got to go to work. Out of all Fridays to go to work. So I go to work. Two of my three parts were the wrong parts. So needless to say, my day did not go any way that I planned on. So Saturday, I finally sat down and started penning this out. And I know that there is people here that have felt alone. The title is, when we pray to God, He is with us. And I know that there is people that have felt alone, and sometimes there's even people all around you, and yet you still feel alone because of the struggles and the battles that you are going through. You feel that you're all alone and nobody else understands what you're going through, and you're the only one that's going through it, and it makes you feel alone. And I know the devil wants you to feel alone. I can relate to that when I was in college and it was getting close to graduating from college. My roommate and I, we were close friends. We spent a lot of time together. And he was getting married right after college. It was an exciting time for all of us. We were going to be graduating in weeks to come. I relied on him. He had a vehicle and I didn't. It was my way to get back and forth from the dorms to school and different things like that. And he was saying that he was getting ready to get married, and after they got married, they were going to be moving to the same area. He was going to take another class, and his wife was coming to take classes at a different college in the area. And he was looking for an apartment. And this Sunday, I was out with some friends that I worked with, and I came home, and our dorm was half empty because he had moved out, which was good. I was excited for him that he was moving out, but on the other side, I had this huge amount of fear because I was alone, and I had no way to school Monday morning. That was before everybody had a cell phone that you could just call them. You had to actually know their phone number. And I didn't know anybody's phone number that had a vehicle to drive to the college the next morning so I could get to class. And I can remember laying there in bed that night feeling all alone and concerned about what I was going to do in the morning. And I believe many of us go through life that same way, that when these things come up, we feel all alone and we don't know where we're going to turn next because we think that God is not with us. And we're going to start there first in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And here's Moses talking to the people of Israel before they enter into the promised land. And he says basically that God has given me these words and I have passed them on to you. You should not take away from them. You should not add to them, because they will keep you on the right path. Follow these words that I have shared with you and God will be with you. And it continues in verses 6 through 8. It says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Moses was saying to the people of Israel, you have God's word, and when you cry out to him and when you pray to him, he is there with you. He is not like the other gods of these other nations. He is powerful and he is with you. He is not a statue that man has made, but he is a living God that dwells with you. Moses was preparing the Israelites to enter into the promised land because they had a lot of battles that were going to come before them. It was not going to be an easy road for them to go down and to follow. But Moses was warning them that through this road and going down it, God will be with you when you cry out to him. I don't know if you know it, but our nation is in trouble. It's been going down the wrong road for a long time. And Moses has the answer right here in Deuteronomy. And you know what really makes me sick? Is the churches that don't recognize that the true answer is crying out to God. God is what we need to save this nation. There is no politician that is going to save this nation and get it on the right track. The only thing that will happen is when the church gets on its knees and cries out to God for help and says, God, we need you. Our nation is in trouble. And when we as a nation cry out to God, God will be with us. He made that promise to the people of Israel. And that promise is true to us this day, that as believers, when we cry out to God, God is with us. He does not let us alone. He will be right there with us no matter what lies ahead of us. When the Israelites, if you remember, the spies went into the promised land and they've seen all these giants and all these mighty walled cities that they thought they couldn't take. Those walls and those giants were still in the promised land when they finally crossed over to go into the promised land. But they finally realized and were willing to say and cry out to God for his strength when those enemies would come against them. And that's exactly what our nation needs today, is a bunch of believers to get on their knees and cry out to God and say, God, be with us. Change this nation. Draw this nation back to you. And I really think for that to happen, it's going to get worse. Because people's eyes are not open. People don't want to hear it yet. And I believe for a lot, it's because they rely on their money. Our country is very wealthy and is very blessed. God has blessed us. But if we keep turning our back on God, God will not be with us. He will not stand with us when we want to stand with anything and everything else that comes our way. Turning to Psalms chapter 4, 1 through 8. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Salah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Let me repeat that. It says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Salah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell and safety. Here is David crying out to the Lord. He's saying it doesn't matter what the enemy has that is coming against me. And David fought many enemies. We remember David and Goliath. enemies. And here in Psalms, he was crying out to God and saying that the Lord will hear me when I call unto him. When he was getting ready to go into that battle and the enemy was facing him on the other side, he would cry out to the Lord, knowing that the Lord would hear him and see him through that battle that was in front of him. And even in there it said, the joy, the gladness that will come will be even greater than the increase of corn and their wine. You want true gladness and happiness? Call out to the Lord and watch him bring victory over the enemy. And you will have greater joy than the wealth and the increase that you have in your life and that so many of us seek after. If we would just spend that time seeking after God's goodness and his power to defeat the enemies that come against us. Now, if we look at Jeremiah, he kind of repeats the same thing. In Jeremiah chapter 33:3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah the prophet here, he says, God has mighty things for us. He has great things he wants to do with us. You that are sitting right here, God wants to use you for great things. But before he's going to do great things in you, he's waiting for you to cry out to the Lord and saying, use me, God. I'm here. I want to be part of your plan in doing these great things. These verses of doing great things, it reminds me of 20 plus years ago. I was at a men's conference for the weekend, and I can remember there being an altar call, and I went up, and I had this whole plan before me. And I cried out to God, saying, God, use me. And at that time, when I cried out and saying that, I had this plan of how I thought God would use me. I have to say here today that my plan was not nearly as good as God's plan was. I am so thankful that he had greater and mightier things for me than what I ever envisioned. And I can say if God used me in that way, he can use every last one of you that are sitting here in a mighty and great way. He has great plans for each and every one of you that are here. He did not make a mistake when he created you. He created you for a purpose. But we must cry out to the Lord and put the Lord first in our lives. So often we can see God's greatest power in our darkest moments. We see each one of these that we've talked about so far was when people were going to face huge troubles. And throughout each one of them, when God brought them through it, was a great opportunity for us to see how powerful God really is. Because God likes to work the most, I believe, when we're outnumbered. When the enemy is so much bigger. Because, you know, if our army was huge and outnumbered the others, it wouldn't take much to defeat them, would it? But when we're outnumbered 10-1 and God brings victory, the only one that we can give that credit to is God himself. And continuing in Matthew 21:13-16. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came in to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Jesus was saying, my house is a house of prayer. You can gather together and do all these other great things, but if my house is not a house of prayer, it is really not my house. That was the purpose of his house, was to gather together and pray to God. You can see throughout Jesus' life, many times he stepped aside. He went out into the hillsides or the mountains to pray to his Father. I don't know about you, but if Jesus Christ needed to go out and get all alone and pray with our Heavenly Father, and he was the Son of God, how much more do I need that prayer and going and having alone time with our Heavenly Father and having him lead and guide my next steps? I can't think of it being any more important than that. If Jesus claimed that my house is a house of prayer, and you can see right after he cast those people out and overturned the tables, how all the people came to be healed, and he healed them. Oftentimes the church doesn't have any power because we're not a house of prayer. We have many houses of social projects or times of gathering for many other things, but we miss the most important thing, and that is to be a house of prayer. If we want to change this world and we want God on our side as we go through trials and troubles in this world, we need to pray out to our Heavenly Father so that he would lead and guide us. And that's where we're going to go next, in Acts chapter 4, 23 to 31. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We see here in verse 23, and being let go, these disciples were imprisoned because of their faith and sharing God's word with people around them. And they were let go, and they gathered together to praise God and to pray to God. And they started off their prayer here of saying how powerful God is, how he created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that lives, God created. And then they went into what the people, the kings and the rulers and the Gentiles and the Israelites did. They crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. They did that, but God had already prophesied it and said it was going to happen. they were destroying this child, Jesus, but yet they were only bringing glory instead. And after they had prayed all these things, they asked for boldness to continue going out there and proclaiming God's word. They did not ask for God to take the trials that were in front of them away. They were facing true persecution. If you study the disciples and the life that they lived after Jesus ascended into heaven, was not very good. Almost all of them died by being tortured in one way or another. They didn't ask God, take these things away from me and give me an easy road to walk down. No, they prayed, God, give us boldness to get out there and spread your word for you. We are going to face trials. And we can either go down those trials on our own. We can even give in to Satan and maybe have it a little easier here on this earth. Or we can go to God and pray for boldness to stand before the enemy. I can guarantee you will face an enemy in this world. We will not make everybody happy. There's people that are not going to like us when we share God's word and God's truth. But from the beginning there, when Moses mentioned, he says it's God's word, don't take anything from it, and don't add anything to it. And as long as we stand with boldness and share God's word in that way, God will be with us. God will see us through all those trials. And he will take us through them. And we will be able to see how great and powerful, how mighty God is. He is God Almighty. There is none that can stand before him. There is no other gods but him alone. A little story to close this. This story happened many years ago. My nephew was probably in fifth or sixth grade, I believe it was, and we were sitting around the supper table, and I'm not even sure how it came up, but somehow it came up that I can pick 10 tons, okay? And my nephew said, you know, there's no way you can pick 10 tons. So I said, oh yeah, after we're done eating, I'll take you out and I will show you I can pick 10 tons. Well, okay, yeah, I want to see this. So at the time, I had a service truck, and I went down to my service truck, and right in there, there was a case that I had a tool in it, and it said right on it, 10 ton. So I went down, and I got this case, and I made it look like it was really, really heavy, and I picked it up, and then I sat it down real quick, and I said, see, I can pick 10 ton. He was like, wow, that's amazing. I had him so convinced, he went to school, and told his friends that his uncle could pick 10 ton. Now, you might be sitting there and thinking, Wayne, you lied to your nephew. But I really didn't. I did maybe deceive him a little bit or get him to think something that really wasn't true. But I really can pick 10 tons if I use that tool. That tool is designed to push 10 tons. Actually, now where I work, I can pick 110 ton because we have a crane that will pick 110 ton. And I can run that crane and I can pull a little lever and it'll pick 110 ton. But I can only do that with the power of those tools. I can pick that 10 ton off the ground as long as I use that tool. It's the same thing with the troubles that we face. I can't get through them alone. But if I rely on God, I can make it through every last trial that I face. But I have to use the right tool and he will see me through whatever trouble and hardship I face. But I need God to be my tool, the same as I need that tool to pick up those heavy loads. It's no different. I can't do it on my own power. And you know what? I can't face what tomorrow holds on my own power. But when I cry out to God, and God is right there with me, and he walks with me and talks with me, I can face anything that comes my way.